Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here for another episode of the True Sweet Hide podcast. We have somebody that's amazing. She does all these things, and I won't even be able to read her whole bio. I'm just going to have her tell you most of it. But her name is Rosalind Khan. She's a coaching and professional speaker. She is also a college professor that teaches public speaking. She at the Los Angeles City College. She's also an author, international motivational speaker, humanitarian, and speech coach, and just all the things. And already I'm intrigued, like, wow, I need to work with her. So, ma'am, thank you so much for being on here. Please share everything else that you do.
Well, it's amazing. You know, one only has one life to live, and you got to live it to the fullest. And I'm one who certainly goes ahead and follows that. I've been doing a number of podcasts in the last 3 months, just getting the word out on, you know, some of the books that I've written. One of them is called A Message for Tomorrow's Leaders, and it's really changing the landscape, you know, especially what we see today on the anti-Asian movement. And it's about bringing people together so that they can work and live together and things like that. You know, I have a series that's been picked up by a major network that's up in the ranks, and, you know, just sharing light and love to the world, and just recently received an award for the Hall of Fame, the Woman Appreciating Woman. And last year I got several others, so just keep on making the world a better place, and that is life.
Oh my gosh. Such an inspiration, and you're right. We really should just, you know, it's not too late to start. Just do it now. Just like, don't overthink it. Just do it, because you never know. There's so much going on in the world that if we let that hinder us from pursuing what we want, then, you know, you're going to regret it. So
that's right.
How did this all start? So you went to, you grew up where? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego. I was one of seven children.
Oh my gosh.
Went to a school called Patrick Henry High School that had over thousands and thousands of people. And at the time back then, I entered school in a body cast. And so I had scoliosis, and that made an indelible mark, because you're seen as different. It's nothing like having a cast on your arm. It's like, you don't say, all right, here you go, sign my cast. Where do you want to sign? It's one of those casts that nobody ever signs. It's always hidden, and you don't want to be the linebacker on the football team. And so that kind of started, and, you know, later on in life, I turned it into a TED Talk, and it was called Coming Around the Curve on My Battle with Scoliosis and How It Made Me a More Compassionate Human Being. And, you know, on the TED scene, I then was invited back as some of my friends had invited me before, and I couldn't take them up on it. And I gave a speech that's called Language Comes to Life. And it's about taking my students to the theater and how it changed the way they lived. And then there was another one, particularly important. It's called Breaking Cultural Barriers, How Everyone Can Make a Difference. And had focused on three regular humanitarians who'd really gone out. Emily, who had given up her life on the famous Derby back in the early 1913s back in London. And there was a movie written about her. And then there was the Olympic rower from Australia and the work that he had done in the 1968 Olympics to help him move the African-American rights. And it's all about bringing our people together. And so my heart and soul goes out to the Asians who are being targeted in what we see in the world. I was posting on someone's Instagram yesterday. There was an Asian guy who looked at me, and I looked at him, and I so much wanted to say, I'm sorry, the rest of the world is so short-sighted. Our world needs to have room for everyone. And, you know, I read a heading in today's newspaper that there was a group of people in some neighborhood that was banding together to help protect the Asians in our group. And I don't know what's going on in our world. You know, the Black Lives Matter, the riots, and so on and so forth. Here we are, a new president, a new thing. And why do these things continue to happen?
You're right.
You know, it's heart-wrenching.
It is. It is. It's almost like you want to apologize to everybody who's being affected. Like, I'm so sorry. This world is just so dumb. Like, Why are they acting this way? But we're not all like that. There's still some of us who
there's still some, you know, amazing people in the world. I've got a great manager. Her name is Dr. Mariel McKinley, and she's, you know, my rock and my salvation and things like that. And she's always helping to make sure that, you know, I'm such a nice, kind soul that I do what I want to do and keep them those evil demons away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Oh my gosh. So what made you want to start writing and speaking and just showing up? Because for some people out there, it's hard for them. When they go through challenges in life, they tend to just be closed off and they don't want to talk about it. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed. They're just living with so many, I like to call them invisible wounds that, you know, so what kept you motivated and want to keep showing up to share to help others?
Well, I'm actually in a book, and it's Show Up, Stand Out by Robbie Motter. It's a wonderful book about just going ahead and showing up in life. But I think from a very young age, I was one of those kids who always wrote in a journal. And they say that when you go look back and you look at the Beatles, they had thousands and thousands of hours. So imagine all those years that I was writing as a kid, and I didn't think I was going to be a writer someday. Just you know, I helped out at a TED conference, and the person in appreciation for what I was doing offered me 6 months of coaching. And he said, write down a list and write down some goals of what you want to achieve. And I don't know, I just could, you know, I'll write a book someday. And it was through this organization, they say the life happens serendipitously, that there was a lady who introduced me to a book. It's called Passion, Profits, and Purpose by Tony Hsieh, and God bless his soul, he's in heaven now. And it was about a guy who began this random acts of kindness in his organization. And with this, they had a wall that people had just shared, and it was like a kid's playground, and the boss was in the Amazon, and you went to go to the throne to have your reading done, which was your human relations person. And they believed that if you didn't like your product, just send it back and no questions asked, and they would do it. But more importantly, they had this thing on random acts of kindness. And so I thought one of the ways to encourage my students to go ahead and speak was to get them to share this random acts of kindness. And once they started sharing them, the stories were just absolutely beautiful. And everyone who read them thought that they were amazing. And that became my first book. In being in the TED arena, I've also been spoken in high school, did a little public speaking in that arena, was involved in Toastmasters. But when my friend from the American Society of Development asked me to help out on this TED thing, I saw it and said, that's me. I'm going to be there. And so when I wrote my first book, I let him know that, hey, my first book is out. And when I was on my first TED stage, it's like, oh my God, this is actually happening. And he actually sent me a congratulatory note when my third book came out. And it was just wonderful to have the support and the guidance. And there's always people cheering you on. There's always people cheering you on. You know, they say the way to fame is not one straight thing, because there's always people who hate you along the way. And they seem to make it harder, but you got to remember not to compare yourself to other people. The only person you're comparing yourself is really to yourself. And I encourage and motivate all my students in my class. You can be anything you want. You just put it out there and you put your mind to it. You know, I told them on the first day that, you know, I had a high school student last semester who went on to beat many of the college students. And, you know, just telling my students this semester, you know, you too can go ahead and win. You haven't signed up yet. You should do it. And I just began starting the random acts of kindness in my classroom this semester, because they're so quiet. It's hard teaching online. People like to slither away and get out. But, you know, I'm happy to say that when I go to the information on the screen where you can look at the details, they show up in my class. They're there each and every day. And if they don't show up, you know, I say, hey, man, I haven't seen you for a while. And I'm the kind of teacher who cares about my students. So one student said that he was depressed and he couldn't do the work. And my academia, I've prevented people from committing suicide. And so someone, when someone says they're sad, you don't ignore it. And I went ahead and I called the counseling center and said, you know, I'm going to refer you to this guy. He says he's kind of depressed. He was a former military. Can you please be on lookout for the call? And I was so pleased when I saw him in my class. And I said, did you get my email? And he says, yes. And I made a call and I feel so much better. Oh my, like, I saved another life. And that's the beauty. And so many people are, you know, they got too much on their plate and they don't ask those questions. They don't take that second step. And that's what makes it really tough.
Gosh, that is huge. I just feel that all. And I'm just so thankful that you are one of those teachers who cares like that. My son has been struggling, and one of the things that I really loved about his high school, now he's a senior now, is that all we had to do is just reach out to them and tell them, you know, he's struggling. I don't know what else to do. How can we help? And it just took this team effort. It wasn't just one teacher. They brought in the counselor, the principal, the social worker. It was like everybody wanted to come together to help him. And I don't think they realize how huge that is, because not everybody can do that or does that.
Well, that's the thing in our world today. And you said it a lot. A lot of people stay closed in. There's the National Association of Mental Illness, and they're in every area. And there's, if you go to my webpage, Rosalind Kahn, speechsuccess.net, there's a resource of different agencies that people can turn to for elder abuse, alcohol abuse, any disease that's out there. And there's a phone number that you can find, because there's someone on the hotline. And, you know, even in our world today, I get bummed. You know, I have a million numbers in my phone, and sometimes I don't want to talk to me. I don't want to give them a call. But nope. I turn to my paper and I start writing. And, you know, I know it makes me happy, and that's dogs and flowers. And I go out and I watch the new coming of the spring. I posted a picture on my Facebook and on Instagram yesterday of this beautiful purple lupin in my backyard. And you just look in the face of the flower and you say, is it really like that? Look at the beauty of this. And another person had said, it's a brain interrupt. It's a brain interrupt. Go start dancing, shaking your hands, shaking your feet, go run in place. Do something different, change that mindset and get out of where you're at, or take a deep breath. There's all sorts of things that we can do to go ahead and stop those patterns.
I love that you said those things. I have chosen, 4 years ago when I was in my really dark place, I chose to write more. I've always written, I think, as a teenager, in my journal, my diary, whatever, but then I stopped because I was afraid someone would read it. And then as I got older, and I started really suffering again, I turned to writing. So I always try to tell people, try to write it down, even if it's not meant to go anywhere, but in front of you.
It gets it out. You gotta release it some way. You don't need to turn to drugs. You don't need to turn to alcohol. You don't need to hit other people. Put it down on paper and come back to it in several days. And, you know, if you don't like it, you can just leave it.
Yes.
It's a great way to see your growth and your development is to go back and look at those writings and what you were talking about and what you were saying and what you were thinking. And it shows you that we're all a process and evolution. And to see those changes that we have, it just makes it so much better.
Yes. I love how you said dance it out, because I'm addicted to Grey's Anatomy. I'm not sure if everybody is like me, but there's, in the earlier episodes, Meredith Grey, she always went to dancing it out. She's like, come on, let's go do it. And I would just sit there and I would love watching that. And so I did that with my daughter as she got older. She's 20 now, but when she lived at home, and she was really, really upset. I'm like, come on, let's go dance it out. And she wouldn't want to, but then I started it. And so then she would get up and do it. And it just, the whole mood just changes, right? It's just so, and then you just forget what right. was really bothering you, and was it that serious?
Right, and that's one of the things my life coach said is, you know, he had this wacky person, and he'd see this funky little character, and he's like, shake your arm, shake your legs, shake your feet, you know, just get moving, get grooving, get wild, get crazy, get out there, get do it.
And, I think, you know, yeah.
You got to get the brain off of the thing that it's at. And I received an email from another scholar. His name is Barry Einstein. And he had said, when you find yourself in a dark place, take a picture and ask yourself where that came from. Where did that start? And then take another picture of something that you were excited about, and something you were really happy about, and fade out the other one and focus on the positive one, because there's a lot of psychology that says if we get up every day and focus on gratitude and the things that we're happy on, you can change the mind. So if you wake up every day and say, I'm great, I'm beautiful, I'm amazing, and this is going to be the most spectacular day I've ever had, it gets better and better every day. And you say that to yourself, you can really make that happen. You see it, you believe it, you achieve it.
Yes, I love that. And it's so important to teach it at the younger ages now, because I don't remember getting all that, you know, as I was growing up. It was almost like, okay, are you bleeding? Did you break a bone? Get up no, and just keep
going. Don't go out there and go do it.
Yeah. But now it's this generation, the society is so different. So it's just so important to start feeding that into the kids on, okay, take a deep breath. You know, why are you upset? Just, you know, just start voicing it. I think we've lost that art of communication. We've held on to our feeling for so long. It's like, it's time to let it out any way you can. Yes. So, how have you handled the pandemic? What was your greatest achievement during all of this in this past year?
Well, I think, you know, to start with, I found my creativity, and I'd like to invite anybody who's listening to the show, and you included, to follow me on Instagram and look at all the pictures I took, because in the pandemic, I created not one book, but I created three books. And one of them, you can see the beginnings and the shape on Instagram. It's called Flowers, Food, and My Furry Friends. And I would just start creating these wonderful, beautiful flower arrangements and these decorations and potpourri and other things, all as a way to relieve stress. And it was like, you know, for such a period of time, it just really worked. I was doing all this cooking and doing all these creative arts, but in the same time, I would get up every day and I would do a podcast on helping people reduce stress. I did about 188 of those. Wow. And it was incredible. Some of them got several hundreds, people going ahead and watching and tuning in. And I started these, I received some recognition from the Global Society of Female Executives for a kindness award. For those posts, I got my DTM in Toastmasters, so I was always out there speaking. And I received an award by the Los Angeles Business Journal to help people, help business people out, and, you know, volunteering and things like that. And then I wrote this current book. And so I was interviewing people on what their thoughts were about the pandemic, the protests, and how to keep kids in education. And so the book is really like a career book, but it has everybody from a 12-year-old kid who's a global humanitarian, whose name is AJ Stuntz, who at the age of 12 raises money for cancer and helping homeless children, to an 88 sensation whose name is Pink Lady. And, you know, there's movie producers in there, a guy by the name of Andrew Heller, Eric McCoy, who's got a best-selling book on the drug addiction, what's happening in our world, and just so many rich people, from TED speakers on the TED stage to everything in between. And so it's a huge resource book. There's, you know, Robbie Motter is in there. She's with the Global Society of Female Executives, Angela Cade, Executive Business on the Go. And you can find anybody in any walk of life and figure out what your next step is in life. It's beautiful.
And one last thing,
I was recently talking to one of the people I'd interview. His name was Jonathan Lightman, who's the head of all the California community colleges from north to south. And he called me on the phone the other day, and he said he read the book. He read the, his wife had read his story in the beginning that talks about his battle for pancreatic cancer. And when she read that story, she began to cry. And he said, this book is so powerful. You need to get it out into schools and universities and things like that. And I said, well, can you help me? And he says, well, call this guy. I said, well, I called him and he was kind of busy. So he's on my list. And if there's anybody who's any educators and you want to get this book on your schools, it's available on Amazon. It's only $2.97 for a download and $9.97 for the regular book. And it'll really change people's lives.
That's beautiful.
that's what I'm trying to do. Get it out there.
No, I mean, that's amazing. And you should, you know, just everything that you've offered throughout your life and what you're doing now, it's can't even think of the word right now. It's just so, it's inspiring. It really is.
Thank you. And, you know, I just like to let people know that I too have those bad days. They don't go away forever. You see, there's this strategy I believe in life is you have the good and the bad, because if things were always good, we couldn't appreciate it. So we need to have those other days to elevate us, to have something to strive for, to have something to see. And they're not necessarily bad. They're lessons.
Yeah.
Life is full of gifts. And if you just see those things as a gift, what do I have to learn from here? How can I take this to make myself a better person? That's what it's really all about.
That is so true. I recently started, my coach made me start to see things differently a couple months ago. And so now I'm to the point where all the things that I've been through didn't happen to me, but they happened for me to help me get to where I am now. So I tried to really reflect on that, you know, and not have pity parties like I used to do. It's boohoo me. Now it's like, okay, that sucked, but what am I going to do? How am I going to make it positive now? So
no, it's so important. And you hit on a thing. Everybody needs a coach. We have a friend, but a coach is someone who takes you from where you are to where the next level is. I'm working with several people right now, a lady who's in a beauty pageant who's going for Miss Filipino. I have another woman who is in the women's healthcare field, and she comes from an immigrant background, and she's trying to take these women on to the next level. And so, you know, when I take care of my clients, I take them to the next level. I invited this one lady out to two networking meetings, brought her to another one, the lady who's a beauty pageant. I said, you know, there's a queen that I have that I want to introduce you to. This is what you need to do. And so I do whatever it takes to get people to where they need to go to, as I'm sure your coach does for you.
That's wonderful. You know, and I didn't know too much about coaches a few years ago. And then I thought, I don't really need one. But then when you get one, it's like they know. They just know where to steer you and what things to think about. Because sometimes we think we know it all. But you always need that one other person to change your mindset, change the way you look at things. And it's like, wow, just it's so different. It's great though. Oh my gosh. So God, what would you tell people now who are aspiring to be writers or speakers? Because it could get scary. It could get overwhelming. It could get frustrating. It could be all these things, but what advice would you give to those?
I think the thing is, a good friend of mine, his name is Lee Pound. He's an amazing coach. He was on with me for 3 hours last night trying to figure out what I'm doing on my YouTube channel. I don't know it all, and you can't know it all. But on the writing, very few people go to make millionaires. And so are you writing to become a millionaire? Forget it before you start. Are you writing because you have a message? Mm-hmm. And if you think about that message, you want to make sure that message is what's out there. And so you've got to study what's there. So I had a friend of mine, for example, who was looking into Bakersfield, the armpit of the world. And she said, there are many stars that go ahead and come from that place. I said, well, what makes it different? What makes it special? How are you going to go ahead and highlight that and find that there's a market for it in work each and every day. And you need to write and then come back. And, you know, once you get it in a compilation, there's a person I know, his name is Lee Pound. He's the Coach Write. And he can help you take those scratches and scrabbles and put them into a book. And I got to be honest, the marketing of the book is a whole nother ball of wax. Takes a whole nother skill set. And, it's a lot of numbers game. I had done a book that has 46 different people there. And one of my coaches that I met from a writing group had given me some strategies on going ahead and how to move that out. You know, you have an author's page, and, you know, if you go to my author's page at Rosalind Khan on the thing, you can see examples of podcasts. I can see, you can see examples of people who are in my book. Songwriting Shane is there. Damian Jones, a famous author himself, who's on, you know, about kids' rights and their fathers and the relationships there, has gone ahead and posted pictures there so that people get to know you of who you are and what you're all about. And the speaking is, you know, most people who are speakers have many things that they do. So they're hobbies in a way. And there's a great organization that you can go to. It's called Toastmasters International. I belong to three groups. It's called Leaders Worldwide. And they're really good at promoting people and helping people out in so many different ways in your profession and things like that. And that's what I really love about that group. I have a group that's called Coach Masters. There are all sorts of coaches and things like that. And they do fun things and motivating and inspiring people to, you know, come out and how to help one another. And then I have a group that's called LA Project Masters. Each of them has a different personality, but I couldn't imagine leaving one of them, because each one of them adds something to my life. Yeah. And so going to Toastmasters for that training, and if they want some more help on the speaking or the writing, reach out to me. I can help them out.
I love that. So what is this gift that you would like to offer to anyone that's listening or watching?
Well, I have this amazing gift I'd like to go ahead and offer. And as an offer of three books, if you click on the link, you'll be able to get a download of my first book. It's called Random Acts of Kindness or Changing the World. That's the thing that I'm doing with my classroom. It rings the hearts and the minds of everyone that's out there. And it's just a beautiful link. And if you click on that link, you can get there and find out some more information and be in touch with me. So I'd really like to share that with people who listen to this show. And, there's also a way that they can find out more about my book on Message for Tomorrow's Leader, which is really changing the hearts and minds of everyone. And that is just a $2.97, less than a Starbucks coffee, for a book that can change people's lives.
I love that.
You can sit down with that coffee and you can read it. Wow, imagine that.
I know. Well, I'm following you on Amazon, and I am going to add these links into the podcast guide for you guys that are listening or watching. So make sure that you go to that link to get this information. And I also will put it in the notes of the YouTube channel. So make sure you go follow and click the link to get it, because this is an amazing offer. And obviously we need to go follow her on all her social media, because she has so much already that we need to see. So thank you so much for doing what you do and for being who you are, because it is an inspiration to many of us. So I appreciate you being here.
Well, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for offering to bring me on this show, because I've done 30 from Canada to India to England and beyond. But it's each and every person I get to learn another part of humanity. And I say, this is my new group of friends that I have, because I find in talking to these podcasts, these aren't always conversations I share with everyone. And so thank you for becoming part of my life. Gratitude beyond words, and namaste.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you. And yes, let's go follow her and her website, rosalindkahn.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life.
Thank you for listening to the True Sweet High podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.